Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is going to be our half-year checkup this morning with Bobby Hebert. We're going to talk about resolutions and kind of see where we're at, and if we're not where we need to be, where we how we can get back on track. My friend, always good to have you here this morning, Bobby. Good morning.
It's great to see you, my friend. It is great to see you.
Before we get into health and vitality and things like that, you are so connected to the Virginia Renaissance Fair, and you had a new character this year. How'd it go?
It went great. I played Captain Sir Francis Drake, and guess what? Health and vitality exactly looped into it, because I needed to be able to memorize a 30-minute script out in the heat, and I'm moving around a lot, and at the end of our bit, I'm in a giant brawl where I have to knock five people out. And so here I am, and this is exactly why I think health and vitality is so important. I'm three clicks out from 70. I will be 70 in 3 years, and yet here I am in a field in broiling heat, wearing a costume, heavy costume, and I'm brawling with people a third my age. Now, this sounds like elder abuse now that I say it out loud.
It could be.
Somebody call social services, save that old man. No, but I got to do this, and I got to be close to the young actors, and I go, who wouldn't want the energy to do fun things like this, you know, well into retirement now? And I go, yeah, it's because I pay attention to just a few simple things, and those few simple things, they're simple, sometimes they're not easy. I'll share that today.
And I'm sure you hope, and there's got to be the hope, that at some point, some of these young people that you're working with are going to look at you and say, that's what I want to be as I age.
Yeah, and plus I lie about my age to them. Many times now, I'm 67, I'll tell them I'm 77, so they feel really bad about themselves when they can't keep up. Oh my God, he's right out of... No, it's amazing. I'm always thinking, because I'm old, older people are going to want to know what I do. Actually, I have found that a lot of younger people are really interested in this, because they want to live life fully. And that's why I love hanging out with a young cast, because if you're out there in the heat working for free, or as my wife tells me, you don't get paid for this. I said, baby, I bought a $300 sword. I am paying them to sword fight. It's just too much fun not to. But if what your whole goal is to spend 7 hours in the heat doing poetry and sword fighting to make strangers smile, you know, these are the kind of people that want as much energy, as much vitality, to catch as much joy in their lives as possible. So yeah, I'm seeing that a lot of younger people want this too.
It is a grueling, you're dealing every, you know, Saturday and Sunday. And no matter how hot it is on Saturday and how tired you are, you go and you do it again on Sunday.
Yeah, so
it
does, because I'm secretly wearing a modern Fitbit under my costume. Yeah, only a pirate would do that. And I tell you, lad, I did wear my Fitbit. And I would go home in the evening, and I would look at my Fitbit, and I go, holy moly, Captain Crunch.
How many steps?
26,000 to up to 30,000. So each performance. So that's like running a half marathon in the heat. And that my biggest struggle, and I'm still recovering a little bit from, I had a lot of impact things, like I can't run for, I probably won't be doing sprinting for another couple weeks. The other thing is I'm a hard time maintaining weight. I am throwing in everything I can to try to get back up to my regular weight, because I burn through so much stuff. But, you know, energy-wise, I was not lagging. The real cool thing was, this year, I didn't get tired at all because of the stuff I'd done during my training off season. I had added wind sprints, uphill wind sprints last year, as a new way to punish myself. No, actually, I really like those, because, you know, it's only like twice a week I'd go out and run 3 miles, but I looped in some wind sprints up hills, and I go, oh, wow. You know, once I got out in the field doing, you know, the sword fighting and everything, well, the fist fighting and everything else I was doing, I didn't feel my normal exhaustion after heaviness. And I go, oh, wow, my body's adapting. So, you know, the working out is not simply for its sake. It is, I want functional, fun stuff to do with it, whether I'm playing with the kids in the field at the Ren Fair or if I'm chasing grandchildren. I want the energy to do young dude stuff.
Do you, speaking of doing young dude stuff, you still have a punching bag? Do you
every
regularly
day.
Do that?
I've this year, by the way, is the 50th anniversary of Rocky. And
whoa.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so
right.
I've been hitting 76. A heavy bag for 50 years. I've, I tried martial arts, but people actually hit you back in that stuff. But no, I hit, part of my morning routine is I do 10 straight minutes on a heavy bag in the morning. And many times I am playing the soundtrack to Rocky. I'm like, Beth, I hit the bag for 10 minutes. She doesn't care. But it is one of the things that it's like running a sprint. And it's a fun thing to do. And I hit it every morning. And it's because of Sylvester Stallone, that movie. I remember, and I was like a teenager watching that. And I go, here it is, a half a century later. And and it cost me almost nothing. I picked up the heavy bag at a yard sale for, $10. And I think I got my gloves for it's like $20. I've been using that particular bag now for 2 years.
Please tell me you don't, just in the spirit of Rocky, get a glass out and break an egg and put the and drink it.
No, but I do. I have a neighbor who raises chickens, and I probably eat, even though. I will give a medical disclaimer here in a moment. I probably eat 3 eggs a day.
Okay.
And here's the medical disclaimer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a fitness trainer. I would refer to myself as I'm a vitality philosopher. And I've been experimenting since the year 2012, when I was well into middle age and not happy with what was going on with my body. I've been experimenting, and you see here, I brought a volume here. I write stuff down.
Yeah.
I've got like a dozen volumes of the experiments that I've done with my body, the results I've gotten with it, and try to make sense of, well, wait a minute, what if I wanted to share this with somebody else? What would I tell them how to do the kind of stuff, not to reproduce me, because I'm not, I told you before the show, I'm not a bodybuilder. I'm a Bobby builder. I want Bobby's body to do whatever I tell it to. I want master control of that. So if it's to play freeze tag with my grandchildren, great, I want that. If it's to go hiking with my best friends, I want that. If it's to go hill running, I want that. And I want to spend less time in front of Netflix or watching somebody else live their dream life in a sports stadium. That's what I want, and I wanted to be able to share it.
And we're going to share it when we come back. Bobby Hebert in this morning. Quick break. We'll continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Bobby Hebert in this morning as we talk about vitality. I guess as we get started here, Bobby, the best thing to do is to... You've got a great story to talk about where you were and... how you've gotten to here.
Yeah, because now I'm 67. I've been retired for 4.5 years. And I got to say, as I look over my life, this is about the most energetic and vital I've ever been. And in juxtaposition, the time that I was at my worst, because I want people in, it's easy to see when somebody is fit, and I can do lots of stuff, so I can run, I can lift weights.
Yeah.
But you might think, no, that's just the way you're wired. But life really can hit us hard, and it hit me hard. By the time I was 49 when I was in my worst health,
didn't look like you were in your worst health. I would never have guessed that.
Yeah, I never got hugely overweight. I'm a short dude. I'm about 5'9". Back then, I weighed about 182 pounds, and I worked out all the time.
Yeah.
I ran half marathons. I lifted weights. I was pretty strong. To the point I was working out maybe an hour and a half a day. And I was well, like I said, I was 49 years old. I wasn't sleeping well. I'd taken on, I'd started my own little business, so I was traveling, and I was also, I was still using alcohol at that point. And I was a stress drinker. So after a hard day of sales, I would come home and I'd wait till everybody's asleep and I have to have two or three beers. Well, that adds up. I calculated that, during those years, I was drinking 2 to 3 6 packs a week, which was messing up my sleep. And so I was always tired, always exhausted, and always pushing myself. And so, when I look at the metrics back then, I go, oh yeah, my waist was 3 inches bigger. I was exhausted all the time and I was always pushing myself. And I really did feel like, oh, this is it. This is when old age is beginning to hit me. And it wasn't drastic. I was what I've come to call pre-old. I said, okay, this is the beginning of the slow fade. And what I was going to do is just keep pushing harder and harder, but I'm also an addictive reader. So I was always reading things and I came across and again, I was doing this hard back in, let's see, when I was 49, 50. So that's roughly the year 2006, 2007. So I'm still in 2008. Yeah. 2008 when I was 49. Yeah. Fast forward to the year, 2012, I pick up this book called The Primal Blueprint by Mark Sisson. And his whole theory, and he had spent his life studying, how did our ancestors eat? How did our ancestors move? And the book made such sense to me. I go, what if I actually looked at what I was eating to see how close it was to a natural state? The way I was resting, not staying up all night. The way I was moving, not relentlessly pushing myself. And that I began to be very curious. And I started tracking things I was doing. And within a couple of years, my health got really, really good. All of a sudden, instead of fighting my weight, I found myself weighing what I weighed in college. Yeah. And suddenly I dropped back to my college weight. All my pain was gone. I found I could do the running easily again. It wasn't hurting. And I started feeling so much happier. And so I started saying, well, why don't I build my own philosophy on that? So I kept it up and I started keeping notes on that. And then, a couple of years ago, I started blogging about it. And I put together kind of what I call my own system to, a philosophy of, and I'll talk about it today. I call it FARMS. And the things that anybody can do with you just have to control. There's like 5 inputs that you can control with your body. And what it did for me, it allowed me to start doing things that, once I got out of my 50s into my 60s, I thought, well, maybe I'll hold on to this for a while. And it just kept getting better. I mean, I'm doing things now at 67 because I'm not a jock, I'm really not. I'm right. Just a nerd that likes to read. But I'm doing things I probably would never have thought possible. So, for instance, I weighed what I weighed in high school. I'm about 156 right now. I'm a little bit light after Renver, still about what I weighed when I was a wrestler in high school. In high school, I could do 7 pull-ups. I can do 20 now. But I'm not, like I said, that's unusually strong for an old man. It's actually unusually strong for anybody. I can run. I timed this the other day. I can run for an hour in the heat, and in that hour run, I can do 7 hill sprints. But I've slowly built this up, and I'm just having fun while I do it. But I realize, essentially, what I've been able to do over time by controlling the 5 inputs is be able to be younger, for a while at this age, and then do the fun stuff or the important things. Because sometimes it's important to be there for your family.
Sure.
And have energy. Just by doing that, I've been able to what I think is, and this is where I came to the conclusion, I'm going to call it, the whole philosophy is called second spring. I'm in my second spring. Just like a hobbit has his second breakfast, I have my second spring. And it's a possibility. It's the, and regardless of where you start, because what I don't want people to go is, oh, okay, so if I follow this this old guy's stuff. I'll be as strong as him and as fast as him. No, that's where I always felt my one of the people I really admired in my life was Jack LaLanne. Except Jack LaLanne always made it about Jack LaLanne. And even now, as I listen to myself in my head, I go, "Ah, yeah, you were just stating your stats." Well, that's just to let people know that even a non-athlete can do pretty amazing things. Because I was fooling around with Gemini, the AI, the other day, and I go, how unusual is it for somebody to be able to, and what I can do is like, I can bench press my body weight a dozen times, which is actually pretty strong for an old guy. Somebody that can do that, but also can run for an hour in the heat, not get tired. How about those two things living together in a 67-year-old body? And Gemini came back, said, "Ah, that's virtually impossible. You can't do that." I go, "You are wrong. You are wrong, technology." Because
exactly.
Thank God I'm not that smart. I'm smart enough to know that if I try something, pay attention to it, and then alter it, and then just realizing that I'm going to either win or I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn what works, and not so that I can set a record or that I can make people jealous, so that when I do the stuff I want to do, I have the energy to do it. That's the whole point of
and
this.
And you feel good about it.
Yeah.
And that's like you've said.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You want to feel good. And it's now, for instance, I probably exercise more than the average person, but not as much as you would think. I'll ask you, how much you think, total hour-wise, how much you think I exercise a week?
Oh, a week? Because I was thinking with what you sounded as you were talking, because I wanted to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
I would say, what, an hour and a half a day?
No, about 6 hours a week. So probably a little bit less, if you average it out, probably a little bit less than an hour a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I never would have guessed
so
that.
Five, let's say 6 to 6.5 hours a week. Here's the cool thing, though. I like creative work. So that's my hobby. I like writing things. Yeah. I like acting. I do probably 15 to 20 hours a week of that. During rent fair season, more than that. But guess what? I love my family more than I love my hobbies or more than I love my fitness. And so, and again, I like to track things because I like to know, you know, at least roughly track them. I probably spend at least 40 hours a week doing family things because my marriage is important to me, my grandchildren, my children, my friends. You know, you actually are double counted today because I do count this as creative. I count this as spending time with friends. So guess what? I get to go home because I'm a journal nut and okay, little OCD, but I get to put down an hour seeing friends, an hour creative. What the heck? This probably counts as an hour of fitness, you know, because now I'm all energetic to do this. But yeah, so it's not because that's the one thing I have against, well, probably more than one thing against the fitness industry is it turns it into an end for itself.
It does, yes.
Yeah, either it's mirror muscles. Look at my abs. Not for free, Ted. That costs a dollar. But or, you know, look at my records. You know, I figured a couple years ago, because I'm so small but pretty strong, I could set a bench press record for my age. And a very good friend talked me out and says, "I ruined my shoulder doing stupid stuff like that." Don't ruin your shoulders. I go,
yeah.
You're right. I could lie about it, couldn't I? Except now I'm on the radio.
I can't lie about other things
I can lie about because my brain is active because I'm feeding it.
And you're able to talk about this today, and as we talk about it, and just your enthusiasm talking about it. But while you when you said a few minutes ago that you have fun doing this. If this weren't fun, you couldn't keep it up.
No, if you're going to turn your workouts into work, or if you're going to turn food, and food is huge in this. If food is punishment, if food is denial, if food is way for you to tell the rest of the world you are a martyr. Oh, please, you go ahead and eat your ice cream. I shall eat my Weight Watchers cardboard. You know, it's like, ah, my God, who cares? Because ultimately, you'll do what, you know, Oprah did, is reach her weight goal, have a big celebration, and then put it all back on,
yeah.
You know. As I've watched that over, you know, I go, oh, my God, there's somebody who I know is smarter than me, who I know is a billion times richer than me, and they are turning it into punishment. until they turn it into a Ozempic or whatever they're doing now to get down. If you're turning everything in, and this actually goes back to part of my nature. I always, the secret part of Bobby, I always wanted to be the strong, silent type, and I can't shut up for the life of me because, you know.
You're almost there.
I was almost there. But no, I'm being a martyr for your fitness, being a martyr for your strength or your looks or anything else really will just burn you out. And as I look, if I could time travel and go back and talk to my 49-year-old self, you're pushing too hard, brother. You're pushing too hard. Now, if I could time travel, go back and talk to my 18-year-old self, I'd punch him. Look at all that hair. Come here, you stinky hippie. But it's punishment. So yeah, fun is a big thing for me. Fun. So. And this is why also I have to work out alone because I talk to the heavy bag when I'm hitting it. When I'm out doing a trail run, that is also, if you're ever actually out in the woods and you see me dancing, and you're thinking, oh crap, this is the Blair Witch Project or something.
Yeah, what am I?
I actually do practice some of my dance moves and stuff because I love doing that at the Ren Faire, and I want to look like I'm having the time of my life, even though I'm very close to death and following dead relatives into the light, you know, because I've pushed myself. But yeah, you have to have fun. So that's a big part of the philosophy.
We're going to take a break in just a second. When you talked about farms being your...
Ah, yes.
I'm assuming each letter stands for something.
It is, and I will explain that acronym. You want me to do that now?
Let's do that now real quick.
Okay, yeah. Farms. It's so simple, and this is why I put it together, because I wanted to be able to tell some. There's five inputs that you have, and the first is food.
Food.
So what you put in your body, what you put in your mind. Yeah, but food, basically nutrition, anything that passes your lips. Action. How are you moving? Whether that's steps, whether that's lifting weights, that's action. Rest. How are you resting? Are you sleeping at night? Do you sit down occasionally just to rest and catch your breath? Do you do meditation? That's rest. Mindset. This is the tricky one. How much information are you putting in your mind? What kind of information? How do you start your day? What do you think about? Most people are blind to all of these. And that's farm. What's the S? The S... This is what makes us human. That's social. How do you connect with other people? This is how, you know, my fitness is not for me just to track and say, hey, I'm lighter than I was here. I'm heavier than I was there. No. What am I bringing? What am I doing with the people I love, the people I want to help, the people I want to make a difference for? That's your social. How are you taking your energetic body, mind, and soul out to the world? And because we're humans, we need each other. The social is hugely important.
Bobby Hebert here this morning. We're going to take a break and continue on. Good stuff as we talk about vitality. It's our half-year checkup. If you haven't been so good with resolutions to start the year, you can start right now and go strong into the next year. Bobby Hebert here. We'll continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Bobby Hebert in this morning. It is our half-year checkup. And in fact, we're so committed to this, we've already made the... Bobby will be back in January, the very first show in January to continue to talk about this. So as we've talked up to now, Bobby, about kind of the vitality philosophy and things and kind of movement things, I guess the next big thing to talk about is food, because that's
where you need to start.
That's where
I believe this is where you need to start. Now, some people think, I just want to start running, and I can. You Now, this is, I didn't come up with this. This has been a saying in the fitness industry and the health world for a long time. You can't outrun a bad diet. You might if you're, now I know that, now the exception to that rule is marathon runners. If you're training, you know, 100 miles a week, yeah, you can eat this huge high carb diet and throw everything in because your body's in a panic mode. It goes, I'm constantly, it doesn't know. It's, we got these 300,000 year old bodies. Evolutionarily, it thinks it's running from tigers or something or whatever was out trying to kill us on the in the ice age. It's just like, oh, fine, eat. We just got to keep moving. But no, you have to actually, the hard part is you have to actually pay attention to what you're eating. And my working theory is most of us are blind to what we eat because, not because we're lazy. First of all, I don't think we were set up to pay attention. For all of human history, we had one marching order when it came to food. If we found it, we ate it.
Yeah.
Because the struggle for calories and the struggle for calories, and that struggle for calories, it didn't end at the end of, at the end of the ice age, you know, when civilization starts kicking off 10,000 years ago. And again, this is a lot of the reading I'm doing, and I go, yeah, historically it makes sense. Calories always, even as agriculture kicks in, you know, one bad season, you're going to starve. So for most of human history, the struggle, I mean, if you go back and you even look at recorded recent history, the Great Depression, the United States, look in some of the textbooks, people were really struggling. You know, we didn't have that many people starving. Unlike poor Russia that went through after their Russian Revolution, you know, the mass starvations. Starvation is a huge deal. And so most of our human history, yeah, you found calories and you ate them. But those calories you found were generally real food. That's not what's happening today. Most of the food in the American diet, and really, that's probably true for most industrialized, you know, up to 80% processed food. It's not real. It's packaged. It's something on the shelf that can last forever. And most people don't know what they eat. And most of what we eat is processed food. That's the number I kept running to again and again. So we're not used to doing it. We're not used to figuring out what we're supposed to eat. And now everything is engineered. You ever heard the phrase, Lay's potato chips, nobody can eat just one?
Right.
Great marketing. By the way, that is horrifically true. Because the billionaires that ran Lay's potato chips paid millionaires, the smart people, to come up with what they call the bliss point. That's the flavor they stick into foods. They keep experimenting. I actually read that, I hope this is true because everything you read sometimes is not true, but you know, they hook people up to, you know, the monitoring equipment and watching which parts of the brains light up when you eat a potato chip.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I know it because I don't eat things like pizza now, but when I do, when I occasionally go off what I eat, oh my God, I can see why people do. It
right.
Tastes so good. So mostly people are eating non-real foods. And so that's the first thing I would tell people.
No processed food.
No. Well, first of all, no, the first thing is, and this is what people don't want to know. This is simple, but not easy. You need to know what the heck you are eating now. I've got a couple close friends that follow what I do. And whenever somebody says, yeah, I'm really doing better. And I ask them, so what'd you eat yesterday? Well, I'm doing better. I said, yeah, you don't know. You don't know what you ate. And I get it. It sounds so obsessive compulsive to actually record and know what you eat. But if you don't, you will find your, unless you're going to eat the same thing every day, which is kind of boring, although sometimes I do that. I will tell you my path. And I'm going to say this has worked for me as far as following kind of an ancestral diet. 90% of the time, I eat this every day. Eat a lot of meat. I eat eggs. I have some butter. I eat a lot of non-starchy vegetables, and some fruit. Pretty much every day in different. And because I eat, I like fasting. Although if you're just starting out now, I said don't worry about not eating until a certain time of the day. Just eat when you're hungry. But yeah, I eat about 2,800 calories. I eat a lot of calories every day for a guy my size. But that's how I eat. It's as close to nature as I can get it and to afford. Do I buy grass-fed beef sometimes? Yeah. Sometimes it's too expensive and I don't buy it. But it does look like food. My apples are apples. They're not dried nuggets of apple-flavored cereal. You know, my eggs are from the guy down the street. You know, so I eat real food. But if you don't know what you're eating, that's the first place to start. First, you got to spend a week. If right now you're not happy, and again, I don't want to always make this about weight loss, although, you know, about half of our population is overweight or obese. So yeah, a lot of times it is, you know, the weight is not helping. But first is pay attention to what you just sit down and write that farms. You got to know exactly. You got to turn on the security cameras in your head and actually look what you're sticking in your mouth, because you might be surprised. And I caught myself the other day because I'm over at my daughter's house. We're playing with the kids out at the pool. I looked down at my hand and there was a brownie half eaten in my hand. It was like, it was one of these demon possession stories. It's like, how did that get in my hand and how is it half eaten? Well, I skipped a meal and so I was kind of hungry. And I go, yeah, even Mr. Food Expert, yeah, look at me. Yeah, I pay it. And I wrote it down that night. I was like, okay, it didn't kill me, but I'm not going to continue on in ignorance. It's my job to know. And then, you know, once you know what you're eating, you need to decide what you want to eat instead. And that is actually, you know, when I tell people, yeah, I work out six and a half hours a week. If you're not doing anything for your health, if you're not working out, if you don't plan your meals, start with planning, because that's probably going to take you at least half an hour a day when you start. Because, you know, when you think about your food, you actually have to have real food in your house,
right? Yeah, you have to have it.
You have to have it. You know, and you have to, so you got to decide some things. You know, you're gonna have to spend, this is the sunk cost or the put up. You know, you're gonna have to go ahead and invest some time in doing this. And if you're because I have a huge advantage over most people. My God, I'm retired. You know, I do remember it was like having kids living at home and working a 40 or 50 or 60 hour work week, and then trying to do everything else to pay the bills and raise the kids and not make the front yard look like the Munster's house. You know, got to get out there and do yard work. I want the inside of the house to look like not a bomb went off in it. So we're always, me and my wife, we're always busy. So I want to address this now, because it's so easy for me to sit here retired and say, yeah, I have the luxury of time. You're going to have to sacrifice some time to do that. That's the simple but not easy part. But what I want to tell the person that's thinking about doing this, it is going to be so worth your while. This is the investment that you can actually afford. If you can't afford, you know, a $10,000 personal trainer or all the stuff that Oprah has, you can afford this. I want to say it more than that. You deserve this. You deserve whatever time you can put aside this week, whether it's an hour, just to say, okay, I'm going to decide a path. I'm going to look at what I do. I'm going to start tracking it. You deserve the time to do this, because this is the tide that will raise all ships.
So do you track everything you eat each day?
I do, and I don't. I do it because I keep getting all these benefits out of it. And plus, I'm doing it right now because if I don't, because my see, the other stuff plays into it, because the better I eat, the more energy I have. The more energy I have, the more I like to do fun stuff besides my working out. You know, the working out part, yeah, I'm still clocking in 15,000 steps a day, but that comes from taking walks with my wife or playing freeze tag with the grandchildren or anything else I want to do. So the better I eat and, you know, the more energy I have, yeah, I can't keep the weight on. So I'm doing it because I go, yeah, I want to make sure I'm roughly eating, you know, 80, 90% real food, but I want to make sure I'm getting enough calories. That's for me. For somebody else is, okay, if you have to limit your calories, why not make sure is at least, you know, if you're going to follow, and I would recommend anybody look into ancestral diets, whatever path you pick. I think protein is important. Let me ask you, Ted, do you eat a lot of protein?
Probably not as much as I should.
Yeah. Do you have any idea how much you're eating?
I don't.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, that's not unusual because most people don't know. I eat a lot. In fact, I'm sure it scares the doc. I probably eat 160 grams a day. You know, it's not unusual for me. And again, I'm not just eating meat. I can eat a pound of meat a day. I can eat all the vegetables I can get, non-starchy vegetables. I don't eat the things I don't eat are pretty simple. I don't eat sugar. I don't eat wheat. I don't eat potatoes. I do eat white rice because, you know, that seems to work pretty well with my system. And I don't touch alcohol. You know, that's, yeah, I just don't put it in my system. I don't want it in there. And so it does it mean I won't eat a birthday cake? No. If somebody's having a birthday cake, I'm not a jock, but I'm also not a jerk. I'm not going to say, no, I can't have that. But yeah, what I keep reading, especially, and again, this is why I'm kind of aiming in some ways for older adults because, you know, having this kind of vitality at this age is just such a superpower. At least it feels that way to me. Is that I keep reading, you know, you need to, in order to keep skeletal muscle, you know, USDA, I think, is saying 90 grams for adults. Yeah, I can do well twice. I eat as much as 180 grams a day. It's just, meat is really satisfying. It's hard to eat that much meat. But yeah, once you have that list of things you've decided to eat, you pick a path. Man, pick a path, and then you're going to have to do, you actually have to go out and buy it. And then if not everybody in your family is eating the same way, you're going to have to either package your food and then decide what you're going to do when you go out and eat. And do you see how this actually becomes a chore? And it can seem obsessive to people. And the one thing, the huge thing, because I'm not a trainer, but I'm helping my best friend right now ask for help. So I've invested a half an hour a day to, you know, I really am tracking some macros for them. And every day I send them a report about what they're doing. And weight loss was part of what they wanted to do. And so they're losing half, and they've been on it for like 140 days. So they've lost, you know, 10 pounds. You know, half a pound a week is exactly where you should go. But I'm helping this person actually pay attention to what they eat. And what I'm really conscious of, because I've never trained anybody, is just how monstrous people can be to themselves and how the horrible things people can say to themselves when they feel guilty about food. And this is not doubt. You are a scientist, my friend. You are, just look at it. So pick your food, prep your food, have it ready, and then record, and then look and see what happens. And this is, you know, if you do this part, this is the most important part. At least I feel that way. You can start with saying, I'm just going to read positive things because that's part of the mindset. Yeah. Or I'm going to go run laps and that'll pay for my food debt. I don't believe in that. Other people do, but not me. It hasn't worked for me. No. Start with nutrition. Actually take an honest look. But, you know, be a scientist. You're not the school principal going over somebody's grades and berating you for not being good. You're a scientist discovering, hey, this can be fixed. This can be better. This can be epic.
Well, and just using the brownie illustration, when you have a moment like that, when you do something, just pick yourself up and keep going.
And I had to get rid of it quick because Beth will grab a camera and she'll take a picture.
I wish she had.
Yeah, I'm going to send this to Ted Schubel.
When you said that, I thought, oh, I wished I had a picture of that.
Make sure. Yeah, and so I'm honest. Yeah, this is not going to kill me, but generally, I feel so good. This is the thing that I want to tell people. It feels so good, just like the working out feels good. I ration my workouts because I can do so much, but I'm not crazy. I've got old equipment. I'm 67 years old. Yeah, I can. I told you I can run for an hour. When we're at the beach, I can run for more than an hour because I love it. I stop at an hour. Yeah, because I feel so much fun. But yeah, my body's crazy. Just because it feels, you know, great. You know, I don't have to tear myself up. It's what's the effective minimal dose? The effective minimal dose of real food every day.
Yeah.
You know, get that in. And every day, if you don't want to track everything, just write down, you know, you don't have to do what I do, track the calories. Yeah, hey, I ate this. Is it real food? Is it not real food? Come up with a percentage. What's your percentage of real food? According to what you say is real food. I'll ask my wife this because currently I said, noodles, is noodles real food? She goes, no, noodle, I don't want to count noodles. Noodles is bad food. I said, okay, that works for me. You change it when you want to change it.
Okay.
And she's generally at 80, but if you're at 80% or better, you're great. That is so, and you know, it means you work a little basic math. You got to know roughly, you know, if 4 out of 5 things you were eating were real food, and the last bad thing you were eating was not an entire, like, cheesecake or something, you know, that's 80% good. I like numbers. Numbers run in the back of my head for everything, but that's part of my nature, too. You know, I like, and you're going to do better on some days and worse on others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about that before the show. Some days I've done as many as 90 push up straight, but some days I can do 30 and my shoulders hurt. Doesn't mean I'm weak. I average things over time. What I would love somebody to do today, somebody who's listening to this and going, God, if that old guy can do it. Yeah, just pay attention to what you're eating this week. Pick a path. I love ancestral eating. Some people call that paleo. You pick a path, you buy the food, you prep the food, and you start eating and see what happens with your body. That's step one. That's food.
Bobby Hebert here. We're going to wrap this up when we come back. Good stuff this morning. We'll conclude with Bobby on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
What good stuff this morning with Bobby Hebert. If you're not on some kind of exercise and eating plan, you should be. And this is just real, Bobby, just some real practical ways that we can do it. And it's all, you know, one meal, one day at a time. Just take it meal by meal, or to make a decision that I'm not going to have that pizza for lunch. I'm going to have something healthier. I'll have a handful of nuts instead of, you know, going and grabbing a cupcake.
Yeah, and then give it time. My friend, my best friend that I'm working with right now has lost, and again, because the media keeps putting out there, you know, yeah, you go on YouTube, and the next thing you know, you're watching a commercial for losing 10 pounds in 2 weeks, all this craziness, you know, half a pound. And again, not a health expert, not a doctor, but an industry standard for weight loss. If weight loss is your thing, half a pound a week is plenty. And now, so what else am I doing with my friend? Well, action comes in. I told them, yeah, they wear a Fitbit, but they were doing about 5,000 steps a day. And they're close to my age. So I get, let's get that to 8,000. Hmm. That's all for right now. Let's get it to 8,000. Let's take a hike together. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Get it to 8,000. Then slowly layer in some workouts that you like. Now, for me, I love hitting the heavy bag. I love running. I love weightlifting. I love doing push-ups. I love, you know, dancing. What is it that you love to do? Do not turn this into one more Herculean task, one more thing on your to-do list. Especially, I want to talk to that person right now who might be a bit younger than me, who's got kids, who's got a family, who's trying to do all the things that they feel committed to do. And now the old fitness nut on the radio is saying, yeah, find time to exercise. That's not what I'm saying. Layer it in. If you got kids, oh my God. Back, even when I wasn't as healthy as I could have been because of, you know, some of my dietary problems, I was always working out. But when my kids were growing up, that was part of the working out. I was playing, you know, running games in the backyard with Matthew. I love those days. I'm doing those days again with my grandchildren. Freeze tag. If you have kids, if you have access to kids, you have to rent them if you don't. If you have access to kids, you could be playing freeze tag. You know what? Some of the best memories. And now my son is 35. Oh, his best memories is boxing with me Yeah, boxing, by the way, started when he was like four. Put on the gloves and let him wail at me and just play around. I come up with different characters for him to fight. Then we go out in the yard and we play the running games. You can innovate. You can, it should be joyous. Everything is a dance of joy in this life. You know, because we're lucky enough not to have to fight for a living like our ancestors did, but find a way. So that'll be your next thing. But you know, just layer that in. And then you know, the hard part is rest. Yeah, you're going to have to start. If you can actually turn off your phone an hour before you go to sleep, that's what I'll tell people. I can't cover it all here, but rest is so important. Ted, I know you struggle.
I know. You're
and,
talking
and
to
here's
me.
Here's the thing, though. You're a curious man. Things motivate you. You're like, I get up most days at 4 o'clock. I should probably sleep to 5 o'clock, but there's things that excite me. There's books I have not read. And so, yeah, I get up and I got to go do stuff. But I'm slowly working up to, I want to get up to 7 hours of sleep. And then mindset. That's the M. Mindset. What are you going to put every day? I don't read the news till maybe, if I'm not listening to you, I'll wait until noon. But man, I'm reading the ancient philosophies. I'm reading my Bible. I'm reading great novels. I'm careful. I curate what I put into my mind. And so, yeah, there you go. And then what am I doing? What am I doing socially? My God, I'm doing it right now. Talking to a friend.
We'll give it the... I'll include with this show how to get in touch with you. Yep. Bobby Hebert, thank you so much. We'll talk
Thanks
soon.
Thanks for
thank
listening
you, my friend.
To Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.